Welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I could barely get those words out of my mouth because I am jet-lagged. I'm never usually jet-lagged flying within America, but whoo, baby, after this trip, I definitely am. I woke up at 4 a.m. Pacific time, which is obviously 7 a.m. Eastern, because on this vacation slash work trip slash research trip slash everything rolled into a ball, I woke up like immediately 7 on the dot every day. My body would just fling out of bed and be like, I'm here, I'm ready to go, which maybe is just the Genie Plus Lightning Lane scheduling just ingrained in me. But either way, I'm on this 7 a.m. wake up, but I am here, and I am so thrilled about this week's episode because this is literally like hot off the presses of my trip. I just got back late Monday night. This episode is coming out a little bit delayed. Thank you so much again for your understanding. I was trying to get it out Wednesday. It was not happening. I was a corpse when I flew home. We got home very, very late Monday night. So it's coming out now, and literally the second I file this episode, I'm in a car on the way to Disneyland for a preview of Pixar Fest. So there's so much going on, and it feels really, really nice to be back in the swing of things. And also, there's something just very cosmically strange to go from one theme park resort to another. If you've ever done one of those silly, goofy trips where you go from like Disneyland straight to Disney World or Disney World straight to Disneyland, it's just so fun. It's just so fun to feel like all transportation is just a one-way ticket from park to park. I don't know. I personally love it. So I'm very excited to go to Disneyland both today and throughout the weekend to catch up on some Pixar Fest stuff. I'm not even going to gab up front. I don't know what's going on besides that. My life is just bing-boinging from Disney to Disney. So let's get into this trip because I have so much to share and I cannot wait to tell you all about it. Stick around. It's a fun one. Okay, bye. Hello! We are back and we are going to talk about my wild trip to Orlando. 7 days, 6 theme parks, 3 hotels, deeply ill-advised even from me to me, who last time I took a baby to Orlando went switching hotels after a couple days. Terrible idea. So terrible, in fact, that I decided to do it twice. But that's what happens when the only gap in your schedule before summertime lays plop right over Run Disney dates and you can't find the exact room you want, so you skip around. Anyway, it worked out fine. We will get into it, but the funny joke of this trip is that the reason I went is because I did have to do research for a few stories that are due, but I wanted to bring Pearl back and kind of compare where she was between 8.5 months, which is when I last brought her, and now where she's 13 months old, because I'm only having one kid. So for me, in this line of work, I want to be able to make sure I soak up all the research with her at the different ages so I can write with authority about something that I'm very new at as we embark into her growing up as a Disney child, because she will be a Disney child and she seems to love it so far. So she's pretty on board with it. That said, I booked this trip now because I'm like, no way am I bringing this baby in summer. No way. No way am I bringing her in the hot weather. And it was 90 degrees minimum every single day of our trip until the last one, because that's always how it goes. Now, I don't have much to complain about because anybody running a Run Disney race, I don't know how you did it. Like, truly call another Churros Hotline. I don't know how any of you ran these races this weekend. It was so hot out. I don't understand. Like, I can't run in an air-conditioned gym more than about a mile without calling it quits. Y'all ran, I don't know, a 10K, half marathon, marathon, sometimes all of that, and a 5K. I can't. Waking up early, hot weather. You're all heroes. I don't know how you did it. You're all very, very brave. As we will get into, almost perished because of the hot weather and extreme dehydration. So I did my best. Truly, let me know how it goes. How do you do it? Like, how do you get that many electrolytes in your body? My brother, who, as you know, is a doctor, and I texted him throughout my dehydration journey, as I always do every time I go to Florida, was like, you just need a Camelback backpack, you know, like the backpack with the water reservoirs. He's like, you need a Camelback full of electrolytes. And no joke, I bought a Camelback a few months ago because feeding Pearl drained me of fluid so much that I'm like, I'm just gonna wear a Camelback around the house. And it, long story short, it ended up leaking, so I had to get a replacement, and I haven't cleaned that one yet, so I haven't used it. But I'm bringing it on my next Disney trip because I clearly need it. But besides fluid intake, We got to get into this trip. I have so much knowledge to share through my many hotel switches and many park visits. We went to every Disney World park. We went to both Universal parks. We almost made it to Volcano Bay, but it was a little too cold the morning we were going to go. And we learned on this trip that Pearl is now scared of water. We got her over the hump. We will discuss it. But when we got there, we're like, wow, she really doesn't like bathing. And then I remembered she went to her first swim class recently and it did not go well. So we got through it. Honestly, like Moana, Journey of Water, Moana. Why am I blanking on the title of it? Hold on. I'm not even going to edit this. I'm just going to Journey of Water, Moana. Journey of Water inspired by Moana. I knew I was missing a word. I think it really like helped her reacclimate with water. It was like very magical and she had a wonderful time in there. So I credit that attraction, which I feel like I've joked about a few times because it's a walkthrough. It is really great. It is really great. I did it twice on this trip and I loved it. Even I kind of want to go back without Pearl so I can just fully dunk my body in some of the water elements, but I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was wonderful. Highly, highly recommend. But we got to go back to the beginning of the trip to really get into it. Now, it may come as no surprise that I'm an overpacker, and especially when it comes to traveling with a baby, I am new at it. I have a terrifyingly long packing list that I was like, I'm going to share this publicly so anybody who needs it can use it. And I need to edit it so that nobody makes the same grave mistakes I do. Because we had so much luggage. We had two suitcases. We had, oh my God, what else? We had a car seat stroller and an actual stroller. There was just so much going on that I ended up doing that curbside bag check, which I haven't done since I was probably 9 or 10 years old. My dad would always do it when we were like flying as a family places, but I checked everything curbside and I'm honestly very glad I did with so much stuff for a kid because one, dragging that all inside and the bag tags, it's too much, but also this dude was low-key like, yeah, like because they're not, I flew American Airlines, they're not an American Airlines employee. He was like, shove stuff in the stroller bag and then you got extra space, boom. And we were like, thank you very much, gentlemen. And we did that and it was great. It was worth the tip, worth the price of admission. Highly recommend. But our stroller triumphs, they came to a close about an hour and a half after that. And I promise this whole podcast will not be about all baby stuff for anyone who's not there or not interested or never wants to know about stroller conundrums at an airport. But essentially, I gotta tell you this, because it was the most dramatic thing that happened on our trip, save for me getting violently ill. But I have this stroller called a Duna. It is essentially a car seat that can also be a stroller. You hit a button and it goes bloop, bloop, and wheels pop out. So it's amazing to travel with because you need a car seat and it's really hard to travel without a car seat because you have to rent one. You don't know if it's the right one. It's a whole mess. So this really alleviates the whole issue. You can put your baby in a car seat on the plane, bing, bing, boom, take them out, move it around, easy. I also packed my regular stroller. I have a stroller I use at Disneyland because I wanted to use it at Disney World. I just wrote a stroller story for New York Magazine Strategist that's coming out soon. But I basically wrote about like how much I'm loving his stroller at Disneyland and I'm going to use it at Disney World. Hope it goes great. It went great. It is the Zoe, I think it's Zoe Tour Plus, I want to say. I'll share a link to that story publicly with more knowledge than I'm rattling off the top of my head. But we checked that one through and brought the Duna on the plane. We learned, at the time of boarding, that despite me using this Duna on many flights on American Airlines, I bought the Duna from a friend used who also used it on many flights. They would not let us use it on this flight. So we boarded this flight with a loosey-goosey wiggly baby and nowhere to put her. Have never done that before, ever in her whole life. I had a seat for her and like didn't know what to do with her. And thankfully it went okay. I bought a hiking backpack to put all of the toys and things and snacks and objects to occupy her on this 5-hour flight because I didn't know how it would go because I haven't flown with her in a few months. And thankfully, the hiking backpack held everything. We entertained her. It was great. Now, when I use the general we, I traveled to Florida on this trip with my wonderful, incredible, fantastic nanny. And I'm going to leave her out of this because she did not consent to being a part of a full recap podcast. But all I will say is that for the most part, when I say we, it is myself and my wonderful nanny. Now, I have talked about my nanny before on Instagram, I believe, and people reacted very, very mixed. It was a mixed bag. We have a nanny I don't really have to explain this, but my husband works full time. He went back to work very, very early. He didn't take much of a paternity leave. And I'm work from home. So I have part-time childcare. It's what works best for us. It works best for like hours and things like that. It makes sense for what we do and how much we travel in our lifestyle. I typically wouldn't have traveled with someone, but My mom doesn't live here, so my mom met us in Florida. My mom could only come for about 2 days of the trip, and I needed to do work. And essentially, I weighed the options, and the only way I could do my job was to travel with Pearl and with someone else. And Ben was never going to do it. Ben was never going to do this itinerary to this many parks for this long. So my only options, weirdly, like I laid everything out, and the only option to do my job was to travel with my nanny. It made the most sense. It ended up going really great. I'm so glad we got to do it. My nanny is down for theme parks. I don't want to talk about her anymore because, again, like, she didn't subject herself to this. But long story short, when I say we, I was not at the parks alone with Pearl. I didn't, like, leave her on a playground and then go on test track. There was a very meticulous schedule. I spent weeks scheduling this trip out. That should have been an early sign of my future downfall. But my mom was there for a bit. I'd feel totally fine going with my mom and with Pearl. But the way the schedule shook out, my mom couldn't commit that much time. So long story short, that's what I mean by we. We booked Pearl a seat. We had the full row. It worked great. It's just, you know, life comes at you fast. I was always like row 13C or like 12C. I had airline status. I was sitting on the edge of the plane, sitting in the aisle, drinking a little Diet Coke, watch a little movie the whole time, doing work, boom, done. Now I'm a row 29, have a whole area for me and another person and a baby, toys everywhere, walking down the aisle, the whole shebang. Really, parenthood comes at you faster than you expect sometimes when they don't let you bring your car seat on the plane. But it all worked out great. The flight was great. We arrived, and it was just pure joy to arrive at Orlando International Airport. I got an email right when I got off the plane. Again, sign of being a parent, you don't have Wi-Fi on the flight. You don't have the capacity. I opened my phone to an email that said our room was ready. My Whole Foods delivery was arriving at the exact time. I had pre-ordered groceries for Pearl. I do hope to try different grocery services, but to be honest with you, I was lazy and I've used Whole Foods to pick up groceries in the past, and it was just easy to, like, bing, bing, boom, press all the buttons for all the things that you usually get. So that's why I did Whole Foods. I want to try, there's a few other grocer providers, which garden grocer I want to try, and then I'm probably going to try Kroger and other ones to compare in the future. But anyway, for this trip, we ordered Whole Foods, and it worked out great. And thankfully, they had everything we needed, and I didn't have Wi-Fi, because if they were like, sorry, we don't have milk, we don't have yogurt, Pearl's favorite food, we would have been in trouble. The Duna came through great with gate check. I had asked people on threads online, like, so what do y'all do with strollers? Do you really need a bag for them? Because they sell these $50, $60 bags. And if you don't, and it was totally fine, and it worked great. Paired with the bliss of landing early. Now, I typically don't take the first flight out, which is around 8 a.m. in LA. I land around probably 4:30 in Orlando. I typically take like a 10:30 a.m., 11, and arrive later. However, now that I don't sleep, I left at 6 a.m., took this flight, and I arrived to like late afternoon in Orlando. We had a whole afternoon evening, which was such a delight to arrive while the sun is still out. It just felt good. It was warm out. It was lovely. It was a perfect, the type of arrival you dream of. We got there. My mom took the Brightline train from where she spends some time in Florida. So she took the Brightline train on her own. Very proud of her. She met us at the airport at the right place, got the car quickly, packed it all up. Just truly heaven. Went to Wawa, got a gigantic fountain seltzer, which is what I use freestyle machines for, unless I'm in a movie and then it's cherry vanilla Coke Zero. But got this seltzer, got some Chex Mix on the road, Pearl napped in the car, like truly a stellar arrival. And then we pulled up to Old Key West, and I didn't really know what to expect because I visited Old Key West. I've been there before, but I never actually stayed there. It's one of the, I think, three or four hotels. I visited every single hotel at Disney World, but I haven't stayed at every single hotel. There's now, I think, three more that I have to stay at that I haven't that I haven't spent the night at. And this was one of them. I originally was, I mean, I planned this trip very last minute, but I was not really looking at Old Key West as a place for our trip. I was thinking it would be most convenient with a baby and a stroller to stay on the monorail line or to possibly stay off property. I was exploring every option, trying to look at the AP discount rates, and there was like a special summer sale, and I really wanted to rent someone's DVC points. For anyone who is not familiar with what DVC is, Disney Vacation Club is essentially Disney's timeshare-like program. And they operate apartment style lodging at many of the Disney hotels. Some of these rooms are annexed away for cash rooms, which is people like me who are not a member of DVC. We can just book the room directly on Disney's website and get a studio, a one bedroom, a two bedroom, three bedroom, things like that, which is what we ended up doing on this trip. But I was hoping, because it was last minute, there are a lot of these DVC confirmed rentals. So people who booked a room, say a one bedroom in Grand Floridian, and they can't use it, but it's a confirmed booking for these dates and you can get it on the cheap. That was my plan for this trip. I also tried this in the last trip and it didn't work. I soon learned that it just didn't work out for us because the inventory for a two bedroom, which is what we needed, really didn't pop up. So after kind of weeks of exploring my options and looking around, Brooke McDonald, God bless Brooke McDonald, who I was sending her different options and being like, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? What do you think of this? And she just flat out told me, like, stay at Disney's Old Key West. They have gigantic rooms. You can easily book a two-bedroom villa. You'll have space to spread out. You'll have the full kitchen. You'll have a table, like a big kitchen table with chairs. You'll have two separate bedrooms. You'll have room for everything you need while you're there. And Brooke couldn't have been more correct. I owe Brooke so much for really getting me into Disney's Old Key West because we pulled up and it honestly felt like an exhale. We like drove up and it just felt like vacation. It felt like vacation in a way that I'm not really used to personally when I arrive at a Disney hotel. Something about this place, maybe because it emulates a spot like Key West, it just has a vibe where it doesn't matter when you get to the parks, it's all good. And perhaps that's partially because it is the oldest DVC resort. So a lot of people that you're seeing around the hotel, around property, because it is sprawling. It is big, which maybe lends itself to chillness because you can't quickly go anywhere. But a lot of people visit Disney a lot. This isn't their first trip. This isn't a make or break once in a lifetime visit. These are really Disney people. And I think that lends itself to the characteristic of this hotel, because I found in some other Disney hotels, there's a lot of like get up early, get to the parks energy, which is also great. That's how I naturally operate. But here it definitely, and I think it has to be that DVC element, it's chill because I would say the majority of people visiting this resort know they're going to come back and probably come back often. And that really makes it a little calmer. Like we ended up talking to other strangers who were just hanging out, having a drink, having a snack, and it felt really nice. It felt like a community. And the thing I like in Disney's Old Key West to the most during this one stay I had was that it really reminded me of my overnight camp, of summer camp, because there was a main building in the middle. There's the hospitality house section, which is where Olivia's is, which is Gurgling Suitcase, which is the bar, Goods Food to Go, the boat to Disney Springs, the main pool with the water slide. Like all of that is in the central hospitality house area. And it really just felt like, oh, that's the center of camp. Like that's the main camp office. That's the cafeteria. It all felt like that to me. And everyone in their own little rooms was just in their own little cabins. It felt really homey in a way that I loved, but it would not have had I not done this one thing. So as I mentioned, this resort is sprawling. And I booked it primarily because I got a two-bedroom villa at a knockout rate. It was $650 a night for a two-bedroom villa using this, I think it was a 35% or 40% off Disney annual pass discount. I was blown away by the rate that it was cheaper than some regular standard rooms at other hotels. So I had to do it. And these rooms are, they're not the newest. They're not refurbished. And usually that's something, as someone who doesn't always love staying at a Disney hotel, I was a little concerned about. And it ended up being totally fine. It truly felt, the best way I can describe it is like renting a condo or like Airbnb a condo on vacation, only it's a Disney condo and it's convenient and everything, it's, you're in Disney. It was really lovely. But the thing I did that set this stay apart is that I made sure I was on top of my requests because, again, this resort is like a gigantic apartment complex. They have an internal bus system because you cannot walk this entire resort. It is that big. It is so spread out. It has lots of bus stops. And I wanted to make sure that we stayed close to the main building of Old Key West. I wanted to also request that we had ground floor so that it was easy to get in and out in the stroller. We didn't have to wait for an elevator. We could just move quickly. And if we were close to Hospitality House, that main area, we didn't need to just board a bus to get around. Again, I typically do not stay at hotels that have an internal bus system, but I went as far as to check in online early, state my requests, which were a little vague. You can request a section, you can request an upper floor, a lower floor. But then I called in, which I never usually do. I'm always like, whatever, it's a room, I'll sleep in it, whatever. I called in, I had a discussion with a lovely cast member. I talked about how this was my first time staying there and like what I was looking forward to. They gave me a ton of information about the property. And when I Googled around, I did research, I looked on message boards, it looked like building 62 was the best option for us. And just to explain, if you book a DVC room, so if you're a Disney Vacation Club person, you're using DVC points to book, there is a separate category of DVC that is near this main section. I was booking a cash room, and those delineations don't exist for a cash room. So I was able to call and request and just kind of say a little prayer that I could get the area that I wanted. So I called in and I talked about, like, I heard Building 62 is great. I would love a room just closer to Hospitality House. You know, I have my grandma, I have the baby. Like, I think it would be really easy for us in this new place we haven't stayed at before to be close to everything. So if you have to get food, do whatever, that would be great. We ended up getting Building 64, which was very close to there. I called in on, hold on, I took a note, on April 9th, before my April 15th arrival. I called after I did online check-in, and we ended up in essentially the exact area we wanted. It was a less than 5 minute walk to the front. It was so convenient, and it really made this resort special for me, because our last day there, we did just a little drive around to see what the rest of the hotel was, and it was bigger than I even imagined. So every time we wanted to just, like, let Pearl see the boat, take Pearl here or there, it would have been a lot more difficult. Now, there are other pools throughout the property. There's other areas, other food, but we just, because it was our first time, we wanted to be near the front for the boat to Disney Springs and all of that. Now, that said, I used to visit Disney World alone a lot, or I'd go with a friend. I feel like this is definitely a resort that you go to with family or with a larger party, maybe a bigger group of friends. I don't think I'd want to stay here alone in a studio. I would just feel really detached from Disney World. But with a larger group at this type of price, it was truly astonishing. I mean, you walk in the room and you, like, straight ahead, there is a couch and a chair. Both are sleepers, so those fit three people, even though you would never want three people sleeping like that unless you're all family and it's like, or you're like sorority sisters and it's real chill. I'm at the age where I need my own room, so it's not for me. But there was a huge island, and there was a with a TV in it. There was a table. There was an outdoor patio that had a view of a golf course. So, like, we would just see golfers all day, which was fun. We had a full kitchen, again, incredible. A laundry room. Again, incredible. We had two bathrooms, and both bathrooms were portioned off where you could, like, make one a toilet for some people to use, or, like, just a vanity for some people to use. There was a, like, jacuzzi tub, which I'm now realizing I never made time to get in and I meant to, so I'm bummed about that. But one bedroom had a king bed. Another room had two queens. It was truly apartment style living. And I've stayed DVC before. I've done the Wilderness Lodge cabins. I've done I think a one or two bedroom. I've done a two bedroom Copper Creek room at Wilderness. I've done one bedroom at other times. I've stayed DVC before, but this two bedroom felt more like an apartment than the other ones. The other ones felt like a bigger hotel room and the kitchen was more narrow. This was gigantic. So if it's size you're looking for, this is the spot. Now, again, I loved Old Key West so much that I met some dude hanging out at Gurgling Suitcase. Again, the vibe here is friendly. He was like, listen, if you ever want to stay here again, it seems like you love it. Let me know. I'll sell you my points. Like, I truly am in. I love it so much more than I ever thought I would. And a lot of it is because I made that phone call. So if you stay here, make sure to do your research and be sure to call. Now, one of the reasons I don't love Disney resorts is that for me, the tech doesn't always work. Anytime I use that little, like, the fancy doodad in the app where you can open your hotel room digitally, it does not work. And it did not work this time. But I met an absolutely incredible cast member. I think their name was Alex. Alex or Alexander, I don't remember, but they were so kind to the point where they said, oh, I've heard this multiple times today. Let me walk you to your room so I can see the error firsthand, so I can kind of visually see this thing that people are talking about. Service top notch, like truly, truly wonderful. So after being stuck in that, like, we arrived time vortex, because for some reason it takes 3.5 hours from when you land at the airport to when you unzip a suitcase. We were running late to dinner. We went to the boathouse. I called in advance. They were able to push a reservation. They were so kind about it. And we took the boat over to Disney Springs, which was lovely. It was nighttime, so it was, like, dark out. It was really a nice casual boat ride. However, our meal was chaos. Which was partially mostly our fault. It was just, like, everything was off. It felt like a Mercury in retrograde situation for just our table. We originally sat inside, but there were these gigantic gigantic, like, parties of like 12, 14, 16 people, and it being like having traveled with the baby, we were like, this is too loud. This is not going to be good. So we ended up, we were late. We were sat inside. We moved outside. Like, I'm so embarrassed if anyone saw me. I need to fess up that, like, truly we were a mess. And then the meal was kind of chaos. Honestly, the food this time wasn't that great. I remember thinking that a little bit the last time I went to Boathouse. I was like, oh, these firecracker shrimp aren't as great as I remember. I feel like I need to go a third time to officially know, like, yeah, I either like certain stuff on here or I don't like it at all, because I got the mac and cheese and I had to send it back. Sending back mac and cheese is, there's no point. Like, it's just noodles and cheese. Ooh, who cares? But it was like fully like burnt on top, like crispy, like you couldn't really eat it. And then it was cold. And so I sent it back, and then and they were like, yeah, this doesn't look right. And the new one wasn't as good. I got the wrong dinner order. Like, no one really loved their food. It was kind of, it wasn't great. And a lot of the chaos was from me and from the baby. And like, it was my own doing. But Pearl did love the rolls. The rolls were excellent. Pearl loved the rolls. But the experience, I feel like there's other places I want to try next time. Like, I was so thrilled to get a Boathouse reservation, but I think I got to check in, because let me know if you feel the same about this. But I definitely, like, our meal, like, our situation was off. So that did not help. And that is on us. But I think the mac and cheese was, like, not good. And I ate mac and cheese almost every day. And this was by far my least favorite one. So kind of a bummer. But we got back to the boat. We got on the boat on time. We caught the boat, like, nailed Pearl's Pearl sleep time, which is a big stress for family travel. Nailed it, etc. Was in the room getting ready and realized, oh, it's after midnight. The genie plus worms in my brain were starting to wake up. And I was like, oh, I should get Jessica Genie Plus for tomorrow. It was our big Magic Kingdom day. It was the one day we were planning to go to Magic Kingdom. We had everyone there. It was my mom's, like, main full day. It was like, we were going to bang it out. We were going to do it all. And I put everything in the cart, and I got to the checkout window, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I was looking at the checkout window, and it was almost $93. And for what? Like, for us, for that day, we had the barbershop appointment, which I'll discuss momentarily. We had things we wanted to do, not all of them. We really wanted to do the barbershop. And then the one ride we wanted to do was It's a Small World. And it just didn't really makes sense for us. Like, I looked at it and was really thinking about it and thought, if I book this, it's just going to be to go on Peter Pan's flight. It's just going to be to put pressure on us to meet Mickey Mouse in Town Square Theater, which I didn't even really want to do because we did it a few months ago. And I came to the conclusion very quickly that for us, it didn't make sense, which I'm always buying Genie Plus and using it. And for us on this visit, on this day, it just didn't make sense. So I didn't buy it. I didn't buy it, which is very rare for me to have that thought process. Usually I'm like, throw money at it. We got to go on everything. We got to do it all. But I realized, like, no, I want to take it easy. And having the pressure of even more scheduled things on top of baby nap times and traveling, I just wanted to take it easy. I wanted to leave it open-ended. I wanted to stand in Magic Kingdom. What I really wanted that day was to stand in Magic Kingdom and go, I would love to do the Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover. Or I would like to go eat this now. I would like to go get Mickey Pretzel and Cheese. I would like to go on It's a Small World after we do this. And we were able to do that. And it ended up working out really great for us that day. And especially just because we had this haircut appointment that was our main objective. I believe that our haircut appointment was, Harmony Barbershop. We went for Pearl's first haircut, which you can do in the Magic Kingdom. You can get adult haircuts. You can do all sorts of things, but the first haircut is a big deal. And it is early and my girl doesn't have a lot of hair. And this, again, we will get into less baby stuff further in what is going to be multiple episodes because this is going way too long. But I really, because my mom was there and, like, I don't know if my mom's going to be back with me the next time I go or if my mom's going to be back with me and Pearl the next time we go. I'm not sure. So I wanted to make sure, like, while the three of us were there, it was the time to get the haircut. And I made the appointment at like 11:30, 11:20, knowing that we were going to wake up and maybe we keep Pearl on, long story short, sorry, too much kid stuff. We keep Pearl on West Coast time when we go. So she's up late at night. We look irresponsible. I look like I'm a terrible mother, but the truth is I leave her up because she goes to bed at 10:30, which is 7:30 home time. Like, in her body, she thinks it's 7:30. It totally works. She ends up waking up around 8, which is an hour earlier than usual, but she wakes up around 7:45, 8 a.m. Eastern when we're there. So I thought, oh, we'll have time. We'll get in. We can meet Mickey. We can do this stuff. We can do all this stuff. I was wrong. It was our first full day. And let me tell you, it was right then that I learned traveling with a toddler, humbling experience. It took us not one, not two, but 3 hours. hours to get going. 3 hours. Three adults, 3 hours. Between bathing and feeding and giving her a proper meal in the room so we had like a belly full of yogurt, we knew we were good to go, slicing and dicing up snacks for the day, pulling stuff out of the luggage, packing the stroller, getting myself ready. It took an eternity. It was the first red flag for what I would soon learn was going to lead me down a bad path. But I blew past it. I was like, it's fine. We made it out the door. It's fine. Let's just keep going. Keep chugging. Keep doing it. And we took the old Key West bus. By the way, I yearn for the days when you could casually take a secret little Uber, get dropped off at the Contemporary, walk in, bing, bang, boom. Those days are over. Those days are long gone. It used to be easy peasy, but this time we took the bus and we made it in just in time through security with a stroller, which is a whole thing on day one because you don't know which metal objects are going to set off the thing. Ends up her new water bottle is one of them. We made it in and made it to Harmony Barbershop for Pearl's first haircut, which I will tell you more about after this break. Okay, you know that feeling that everyone knows something that you don't? For me, that used to be Quince, but no more. Quince is a truly astounding retailer, essentially carrying everything a person on your mood board would wear. We're talking washable silk blouses, chic leather bags, 14-karat gold jewelry, European linen dresses, and the best part of all is that Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They're up here with $50 Mongolian cashmere sweaters. $50! Beautiful, timeless items you can wear and actually live in. Meaning, you don't have to be scared to bring them on your theme park travels. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And if you're sensitive to retailers like I am, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. But it's not just your everyday work-life clothes. They have everything. I recently joined a new gym, big deal for me, and desperately needed new workout clothes to wear there. It's kind of like an LA gym. Like, it kind of got to look cute. So I ordered a pair of their Ultraform bike shorts and high-rise pocket leggings. And when I tell you, the quality of these leggings is truly on par with brands I paid 3 times as much for, which really kind of makes me love these 3 times more. I'm not only going to buy them again, but actually buy the other travel stuff in my cart because they have things like beautiful pastel suitcases for $129 and these wildly affordable compression packing cubes that I have been waiting forever to buy compression packing cubes, and they're always so pricey. And here, the price fits. So if you want to get ready for work, your new gym, travel, anything in your life, go to Quince. Quince.com/amusing will get you free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Ooh, that's nice for someone who puts stuff off like I do. That's Quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/amusing. Welcome back. So whether or not you know about Harmony Barbershop, the magic kingdom barbershop that is like you just walk in and it's to the left. I truly ignored it my whole life because it didn't apply to me. And it was so nice to be like, oh, is this like a secret? Is this an oasis? Like, did I imagine this exists? Is this really here? It's really there. It's really there. I'd never even been nearby. I was like, that's a thing I don't need to pay attention to as I speedwalk to get popcorn and go to Space Mountain. But it was so nice to like go somewhere new to me in the Magic Kingdom. That is so rare for someone who loves Disney this much. I made the appointment truly days in advance. That's when I got it. We planned this trip in about 30 days, I want to say. So anything, we were just picking up with scraps for reservations. We made our plans very last minute and it was very stressful, but I managed to get one on the day we were in Magic Kingdom. And the whole area, anyone who's been here recently is maybe going to giggle at this too, but the whole area outside here is like truly covered in litter and hair. Like the ground is like glitter, my apologies, glitter, hair, dust. Like, I don't know what's going on. It's like the wild, wild west, but like with glam. There's just glitter everywhere, just hair scraps. I don't know. It's a strange little corner that maybe someone needs to fully wipe down. But the entire process, it was a blur. We checked in, we had our haircut moments later. They put this little booster seat on the barber chair, which was so cute. And then Pearl sat on there, and then I sat like side saddle. Like I was kind of like sitting, leaning into her, crossing my legs over to keep her company during her haircut. I truly blacked out. I don't remember it. I just rewatched the video. And we really, again, this was a ceremonial haircut. This was just to do it while we could at this age. Otherwise, I would have to like fly back specifically for this, which I didn't want to do. So we cut little snips of hair. It was little. And then after the haircut, I think there's a glitter moment. We opted out because, again, she's a baby. We don't need. I mean, I didn't want her to eat the glitter because I'm neurotic. And then they hold up a mirror and they put on my first haircut hat on, little Mickey ears. And then they look in the mirror and it's truly beautiful. They give you these keepsake ears and I believe a certificate, which is somewhere in my bag. I haven't unpacked it yet. And during the haircut, they borrow a light up wand, you know, like the little like light up flashing ones. I think this one was maybe a Frozen one because I think it had a snowflake, just to kind of distract her and keep her calm. They put her in the goofiest little hairdo. It was it just made her look like Cindy Lou Who, kind of. It was like a little teeny tiny ponytail on the top of her head. But she was so brave. She only got a little upset once. The cast member who did it was excellent. Like, would brush Pearl's hair, brush my hair to calm her down. It was wonderful. It was a core memory, and I'm so glad I did it. I highly recommend. And even, listen, my advice is, even if you had to do a first haircut at home, this is their first haircut at Disney World. So like, it's still a first haircut and it still counts, and you should fully book it if you can. It was $28, I want to say. I might have that wrong, but I don't want to have you hear me clickety clack on the computer. It was around $28. Again, they have three chairs in here. The appointment is tough to get. People say you can get walk-ups. I think you have to do it first thing in the morning, which if you're going to the Magic Kingdom with a baby for a first haircut, the odds of you getting there early in the morning, I mean, you got to be real quick out the door, which we are not. But I saw somebody walk up to try to get one in the middle of the day, and they got shut down in a way that, it was not, I felt bad. They were just like, no. There's like, their schedule, you know, a lot of times you check in at a restaurant, there's like a digital thing with all these names. Their schedule was truly like a few squares on a sheet of paper, and they were like crossing them off. It was there's very limited availability. So that's probably why this reservation was so hard to get, but I loved it. And I am so glad we did it, because it was so much fun. It was definitely one of the highlights of the trip, if not the biggest highlight. But we did so much fun stuff that it was just like icing on the cake of everything. The week got progressively hotter and hotter, but it was still very hot this day. And I have learned in packing for this trip that your girl don't own summer clothes anymore. Your girl really don't got them. So I had to wear strawberry jeans. They're just like jeans with strawberries all over them. And I was fine. I was warm, but it worked out. But we went on the People Mover, which was so much fun. I finally got my first coffee of the day at the Joffrey's kiosk. I'm blanking on the name of it. I know you guys all know it. Right by the Space Mountain entrance. And I got marshmallow syrup in it because they have a special Tron drink with marshmallow syrup. So I got a marshmallow syrup latte. Delicious. Then we went, of course, to Columbia Harbor House, the one place that I apparently only eat at in the Magic Kingdom. But I was in a good mood. Listen, my daughter just got this haircut. I got to go on one of my favorite Tomorrowland attractions. I went for it, and I mobile ordered our food for Columbia Harbor House, but knowing the way we were gonna walk towards there, I also placed a mobile order at the Friar's Nook, and I picked up a $1 order of cheese, got to Columbia Harbor House, sat down, had my salmon with green beans and french fries, and I had my own cheese fries in Columbia Harbor House. And that's how you do it. That's how you do it. I made my own bliss in Magic Kingdom. After that, we went on It's a Small World. It was a posted 25-minute wait, but I truly think it took 15. I've been taking timestamps when I don't use Genie Plus. And we boarded it we got in line at 2:24. Yeah, and we were at the front of the line at 2:41. So really easy. Pearl loved it. She's way more awake than she was on the last trip. So like seeing her little eyes just like glance around at first, and now seeing her really take in what she's seeing is so magical. Again, it is stressful to travel with children, but I find it to be very, very worth it. So when we were at Columbia Harbor House, listen, when you got multiple Midwesterners together, meaning me and my mom, we talked to strangers. We love to talk to strangers. And we ended up talking for a while with this party that was sitting next to us. And this lovely woman, I am blanking on her name, and my mom, I'll have my mom tell me her name. I'm fully blanking on it, but she was absolutely lovely. And she was like, you know what? My kids are grown. They're in college now, but one of the things I loved doing with them was getting portraits of them at Sir Mickey's. And Sir Mickey's, if you walk through Cinderella Castle, on your right-hand side is Sir Mickey's. It's a store, but there's also this little photo studio, which for my whole life, until this trip, I thought that was specifically for people who had done makeovers, like Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, the like Prince Makeover, which I think is categorically still Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. I thought that was just where you go after that, and it was exclusively reserved for them. It ends up it's not. It's a photo pass photo studio that you can just go in. And if you have a memory maker, if you have photo pass, if you're buying it, you can get those photos as part of it. It's like the photo pass studio in Disney Springs, obviously much smaller and like has more of a regal background. And I think that's maybe the only background they had because that's all I saw. But I had this dress that my mom bought forever ago for Pearl that was like a light blue, like tutu kind of beaded encrusted thing, which listen, I would never put my daughter in this thing, but we try to keep grandma happy. We try to keep Audrey happy. So I packed this dress and it's, you know, I didn't want her to be in it all day because it was hot. So we put her in this dress. We took her to this photo studio and we have the most amazing photos. Amazing photos. As you remember, on my first trip, my friend Zach Wolf did us a solid and like came to hang out with us and snap some photos of Pearl in a little Cinderella dress, which I will cherish for the rest of my life. But on this trip, I didn't want to schedule anything. I didn't want to have more stuff. The haircut was, again, remember my philosophy? Like, if you're traveling with a kid, what works for me is that you have one priority of the day. You have one thing where it's like, this is what we have to do today. And that was the haircut. And everything else we got to do was gravy. I didn't want to push it and have that and a photo shoot. I didn't know what would happen. And we ended up taking these lovely photos that I got to download for absolutely free. We put her in her little dress. She sat on this little cushion, I guess you'd describe it as. And it's just so cute. And then afterwards, again, I will probably post a video of all of this so you can see exactly where it is and what the situation was. But we put her in this little dress, this little cushion, and it looks like she's on like a little royal balcony. And then we got to take photos with her. They only let two adults in, if I'm remembering correctly, but we got to take a photo with Pearl, me, and my mom, and it was just such a special moment. We didn't anticipate that we could just wander in there and do that. So I highly recommend. It was so fun. It was such a fun touch. I'm trying to think what else. Oh yeah, after that we walked past Dumbo. 5 minute wait. Pearl had never been on Dumbo. I'd never taken her in Disneyland. Maybe it was a 5 minute wait because it was blisteringly hot out and we were boiling hot in the sun, but it was worth it. We got on our first Dumbo. We didn't have time for her to do the play area, which I still, one of those random things I've never done. But then afterwards, I'm like, listen, let's push nap time. I want her to meet the great Goofini. I really wanted her to go to the Pete's Silly Sideshow, still got it, and have her go to the Goofy meet and greet, which is one of my favorites. I love that Goofy costume, and I packed a little Goofy hat for her, which I had originally bought. Listen, this is going deep, guys. I bought a Goofy hat in Tokyo in 2019, and it was at the Disney store in Japan, not at the parks, at the Disney store for something I believe is called My Bear University? Bear University? Hold on one sec. Bear University. Oh no, that thinks I'm trying to say Berkeley because I'm in California. Tokyo, Disney. University. Who could remember that word? So these little bears that you put outfits on. And I bought the Goofy hat that they sold for the bears and I put it on my Gelatoni. And then when I was packing for this trip, I saw the Gelatoni with the hat sitting in her room and I thought, oh, that would fit on my girl's head. So I brought it with. And I put this Goofy hat on her while we met Goofy. And Goofy took the hat and put it on Goofy. It was very cute. Pearl was a little like, what is going on? And then she met Donald and did not like Donald. My girl does not like Donald. My girl does not like Donald. I think it's the bills. Anyway, we shopped, we hung out, we took the train towards the front, and we made our way out of Magic Kingdom. We had a wonderful, wonderful day. When we got back, I went to get, which Brooke tipped me off for, again, Brooke McDonald, savior of my trip, is that Goods to Go, which is the like kind of like quick service, Goods Food to Go, my bad, the quick service kind of like food stand at Old Key West, they have key lime pie Dole Whip. It's like key lime swirled with vanilla, and then they put graham cracker crumbs on top. And it was so hot out, it was so refreshing. It was such a treat. That night, we went to Space 220 for dinner. And I forgot, listen, I don't always rent a car. I love renting a car. But renting a car at Old Key West, you can park near your building so you don't have to walk all the way through the parking lot. There's always ample parking. And you just get in your little car and we drove to Epcot. We got there at 7:15. So we parked so close, easy breezy, pulled right in, went to Space 220, went to space, had a lovely meal in the lounge section of Space 220. Now, I haven't been to Space 220 since this Epcot restaurant opened. So I've done the, you know, you take the elevator up 220 feet above Epcot, you're dining in space. They have the gigantic screen where you look out on Earth. My mom kept calling it, sorry, Mom, sorry to drag you. My mom kept calling it a view of the moon. Man, we are not looking at the moon. That is planet Earth. But it's fine because my mom was also watching Pearl the whole meal. So she was a little... She was a little preoccupied, especially because Pearl has hit her girl, I got a crawl phase. So we like dined in the view of Earth and space. We saw the astronauts, things like that. And I was going to do the set menu, but I thought, you know, I'll do that when I'm back without Pearl. I just kind of want to, I'd never done the lounge. And so I wanted to check that off the list. And the lounge was really cool because you can order essentially anything from any menu. They have lounge specific items, and then they have the full prefix menu. At Space 220, the prefix menu is a appetizer, entree, and dessert. And if you dine in the lounge, so if you dine in the regular restaurant, which is for the most part the tables up by the screen, the lounge is above that near the bar. The lounge is big though, there's a lot of tables. Actually, I'm not, there's some tables to the left, but I don't know if those are, anyway, we're being vague with the scene, it's fine. I just always gotta be factual, you know, that journalism brain. But we were able to order dishes from the main menu and also from the lounge menu. Now, if you want an entree, so if you want an entree from the prefix menu, you gotta do the whole prefix menu, which you can do at the lounge table. We ended up just ordering some appetizers, we ended up getting dessert, and then we got some lounge dishes. And there were some items that were really great, some that were not. When I tell you, this side of carrots was one of the best dishes I've ever eaten in my life at Disney World. I don't know why. And I'm gonna have to write about these carrots and we'll like inquire about the ingredients. So loop back with me if you're curious. But these carrots, like I would go and get a double order of carrots and a drink, and that would be my ideal. Like that and dessert, Space 220 meal. Like these carrots were so delicious. I got the wings, which I didn't really love. We also had, we had a pasta dish that was great. My mom had salmon, which I think was pretty good. Also her vegetables with the salmon, great. But we had the desserts and we had the carrot cake. We had a secondary dessert, which I don't even want to talk about because apparently it's going off the menu, but I don't want to tell you the details of why it was so great because it's not going to be there. And I don't want to send you there and be like, ah, I could have had this dessert, which is now how I feel. But the carrot cake was great. That is staying on the menu. I believe it's vegan. I should have checked before I started gabbing about the food, but regardless, I will post more details about this on Instagram. This is just like, I got to yap at you about the food. Carrot cake was great. I guess they really slay it with carrots there up in space. I don't know what they're doing to these carrots, but any dish with carrot in it was really our favorite of the night. And it was really fun. And then on the way out, we didn't realize how long we had dined there for. On the way out, we were there so late that we had to be escorted out of the area because there was a private event later. So we ended up just hanging out. My mom hit the stores. I fed Pearl like in this beautiful moment in the glow of Spaceship Earth with the music playing and the lighting package and all of it was wonderful. I forget who said this, but someone messaged me on Instagram and said, I saw you from afar. You looked very relaxed, which was true. I found Space 220 to be like a really nice meal. I had a wonderful time. It was like really, really nice. I know that it's not cost effective to go to two parks in one day. And if I did it again, I might not do that just because it adds a lot of pressure with the baby and scheduling. But I really loved just taking a big break and pulling up to a park late at night for a casual dinner. No pressure to see nighttime entertainment, just to get dinner and to have a nice time. And I would definitely go to Space 220 again in that fashion. I think that was the ideal way to do it because it's a little too long during the day, I think. I would want to get back in the park and do stuff, but knowing that is all we have to do that night, if we make it to nighttime entertainment, that's fine. We didn't. It was totally cool, totally great, no pressure. It was really a wonderful time. And I will add, I was like happy with our lounge decision. And then we went to take photos by the view of Earth. And we saw these people get their dinner. It was some sizzling hot lobster. I'm going to look up exactly what the menu is because we got to talk about this. It smelled unbelievable. And this is why I'm going to go back and get the full menu once again. This was, the dish smelled so good that we looked at each other and we're like, we should have gotten the lobster. Also, I'm now realizing, and this is my bad, I apologize, the lunch pricing is significantly less than the dinner pricing. Lunch for adults is $55 for an appetizer and an entree. Dinner is $79 for appetizer, entree, and dessert. So lunch, I take it back. Lunch, if you don't have, you know what? Book your lightning lanes around it. Take a casual load off in the hot summer months. I take back what I said. Dining here for lunch is the way to go, or a casual dinner. Just like build it around your plans, because granted, the carrot cake was great, but the lunch, being able to do this seems great. I don't see the, but I don't see the lobster on the lunch menu. Sorry, I meant to record this a little later, but I got to go to Disneyland in a second and I can't not talk about the carrots. They also have a carrot bisque. These carrots, y'all, incredible. Oh yeah, here it is. It's a supplement. So it's $22 extra. I see it on the dinner menu. Half lobster stuffed with jumbo crab, roasted corn, broccolini, supplemental to the prefix menu. You're going to end up spending over $100 a person if you get this lobster, but oh, I would do it. It smells so good. And the roasted carrots are $9. $9, the roasted carrots. Fantastic. So I will be honest with you. I didn't expect this episode to just be one day of parks, but I have so much to share. I'm like bursting with details. We haven't even talked about Hollywood Studios. We haven't talked about a full day I spent at Epcot. We haven't talked about my traumatic illness. We haven't even talked about Animal Kingdom, and I double dipped in Animal Kingdom twice. We haven't even talked about Islands of Adventure, Universal Studios Florida, Wizarding World of Harry Potter, going on E.T., staying in maybe the coolest hotel room I have stayed at Universal Orlando, and definitely ranking top five in all of Orlando I've ever stayed in. This hotel room was so good. I will get into that on a future episode/episodes, because I guess once you get me started talking about my trip, that's all I got. So we're going to wrap it here. There won't be a churros call on this one. I will put it at the end of, you know, it's like one big episode parsed into chunks, and we will do the churros and the outro section on the final one. But thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions about my trip, call into the Churros hotline, send me a message, and I will get back to you. At me on all the things. Subscribe on Instagram at Carly Wiesel. And thanks so much for listening. See you very, very soon, because we got to get into day two. Oh my God, there's just so much to share. We jam-packed a lot. And that's what I love about theme parks, is that every day feels like 3 days. I felt like I was gone for three full weeks. And I wasn't. It was just 1 week. But every day you live so much life. You pack so many memories in. And that's why I think theme parks are the best vacation. I've been on Twitter a lot lately, and I see a lot of conversation of like, you could spend this much on going to Disney or Universal. Or you could spend this much going to Europe. And like, Europe's great. And I love going there too. But there is something special about being here with friends, with loved ones, or even just by yourself, spending a day doing whatever you want to do in the most magical place on earth. I think it's fantastic. And clearly, from a full episode of one full day in the parks, there is this much to pack into your vacation. You really get out of it what you put into it. So I will be back with more, and I hope you enjoy this, and I will talk to you soon. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.
Hi, honey. It's me. I know that Pearl's sleeping, and it's very, very late, so I have to be very, very quiet because I have a very loud voice, and I can't help it, so I'm sorry. So what I wanted to share with you, but we didn't have time last week, was that I wanted to tell you about a woman named Leslie who we met at lunch at the Magic Kingdom. Leslie said, do you know that if you're a pass holder, you can go to a photo shoot with a photographer right by the castle and it's free? I said, what? So we happened to bring this beautiful blue tulle dress with a beaded tassel on the front of the dress. It was so adorable. I bought it for Pearl, and since she has almost grown out of it, Smart Carly dragged this dress from Florida to Florida and then in the stroller. We walked right into the photography studio, no line, and took the most beautiful pictures in Carly's dress. I'm sorry, in Pearly's dress while I look at her and think of Carly. Between Pearl's first haircut and the photo shoot, it was the best day ever. I love you, Carly. I love you, Pearl. Love you, Jen Stamos. See you next week. Having so much fun. Bye.